Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the November 20th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Tuscola City Council. City sets tax levy, promotes Hardwick by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council set their tentative tax levy with an increase of 4%. The levy is available for review on the city's website and at City Hall. City Administrator Drew Howell said the increase should not result in property tax rate increases, as he expects the assessed valuation in the city to increase at a rate to cover the levy increase. He recommended that the city not seek more than 5% increase in order to avoid additional meetings and paperwork. The city also promoted Rob Hardwick to team leader of the street department at a rate of $31.50 per hour following the retirement of city foreman Denny Cruzan. They also approved a revised fire department roster with the deletion of Hunter Lewison, a probationary firefighter who has left the department. The council approved an agreement for reimbursable utility adjustments. Hole explained that the state is widening part of Route 45, which may impact the water line that feeds Tuscola and Arcola. Hole said the line is not on the state's easement, so the state will pay for any costs associated with an impact on the line. Since the ditches along Route 45 will need to be moved, it may cause the water line to be less deep than it is now. The city wants to determine what impact, if any, there will be. The city's line is on private property with an easement bought and paid for by Tuscola and Arcola, Hole said. Chastain and Associates will review the potential pipeline conflict at a cost of $15,000 from the Joint Water Agency, but to be reimbursed by the state. The city of Arcola approved the same plan on Monday. City Clerk Beth Lehman reminded the council that they had until Monday to file their petitions for re-election. The election is April 1, 2025. On the consent agenda, the council approved bills of $472,000 in addition to a bill of $214,000 to Grunlow Building Incorporated for work on the master meter station. That bill will be drawn from the city's loan from the Illinois EPA, which is at a nominal rate and half of which will be forgiven under terms of the loan. During the mayor's portion of the meeting, he congratulated Kate Foles for winning the state Class 1A cross-country meet and setting a new record. Her time was just 5 seconds off the record for all classes, he noted. All that hard work paid off. I see her running all the time. Hole also noted that work was about to begin on new construction north of Love's Travel Center and that another parcel there just sold. The city approved the plat for the new construction in May, he noted. The council meeting was held last Tuesday due to Monday holiday. The next article, Arcola City Council Approves Agreement for Pipeline Review by Ben Crane. At the Arcola City Council meeting on Monday, an agreement with Chastain and Associates was approved for a joint water agency pipeline conflict review. There's a water pipeline used by Arcola and Tuscola along Route 45 that is conflicting with Chastain's proposed road widening project on that route. Chastain and Associates proposed to conduct a preliminary review of the conflict. Furthermore, the council approved a proposed reimbursement agreement from the Illinois Department of Transportation to pay for it, as well as the engineering to design the potential remedy and construction costs. The council also heard a presentation from Jim Arndt of Arndt Municipal Support regarding review of benefits, classification, and their compensation study. The next article, Villa Grove City Council secures $250,000 in grants for infrastructure. At the Villa Grove City Council meeting, Administrator Jacqueline Athey reported that she's reviewing ordinances concerning using storage containers for living space. It was thought that the existing ordinances prohibited such a use, but she would consult with the city attorney to be certain. She also noted that building inspector Mike Broker has resigned and that a search for his replacement was underway. She also noted the city had received grants totaling $250,000 from the Illinois legislature and that the funds must be used for infrastructure improvements. Finally, she noted she'd be doing some internal funds transfers involving $250,000 in funds from the expiring TIF-1. The council also voted to pay for the replacement of the back door at the Zest for Life Center, replacement of a broken storm sewer cover at the corner of Washington and Richmond, and purchase of a sound system for the Community Rec Center. Finally, the council accepted the topo survey quote for Richmond CRC area from ERA Precision Engineering Group. Public Works Director Mark McSell then reported that his department had been focusing on leaf removal and that on Tuesday they had removed 9 truckloads of leaves in one day alone. He then noted that all park restrooms have been winterized and the ZFL door issue will be resolved this week. He then noted that the lift truck needing minor repairs and that he would be getting an estimate for the costs. He also noted that there had been a minor sanitary repair at the burn pile bull barn. finally reported that Klaus Specialties would be sending him a bid for the city's surplus equipment. He noted that most municipalities use this company for this type of business. Public Safety Director Bob Rhee then reported that the new sports programmer, Kyle Miller, had started. He also noted that several high school students had submitted part-time applications and that the new donor wall recognition plates were ready for pickup and installation. That he had a meeting scheduled with Michael Holmes concerning a new website for the recreation center. The fifth and sixth grade basketball was very well attended, and that he'd be scheduling extra employees during their games. Finally, he noted there had been an influx of out-of-town visitors and enrollments. Mayor Cassandra Ebersole Gunter then reported that once again the city had responded when asked for sponsorship of the Light Tree Lighting Festival and that all events now had sponsors. She also noted that there would be a skating rink and carolers added to this year's festivities. She also noted that fresh-cut Christmas trees would be on sale the day of the Christmas Tree Lighting Festival. And finally, she announced that the four-foot pre-decorated Christmas trees would once again be auctioned off and that they would be dropped off at the Ambara on Tuesday and Wednesday, November 26 and 27, and that prospective bidders could also view them at that time. In new business, the council unanimously approved the hire of Kyle Miller as CPS sports programmer and to approve a contract modification for the required traffic study on Route 130 and Cattail Lane in the new Prairie Fire subdivision. Finally, Administrator Athey discussed the status of the 2024 tax levy and that she hoped to have numbers together for a meeting in the near future. Finding no other business, Alderman Thelma Blaney called for an adjournment at 6:52 p.m. The next article, Arcola School Board. Arcola schools receive a commendable rating by Ben Crane. All three of the Arcola School District schools, the elementary, junior high, and high school, received a commendable rating from the Illinois Report Card for the 2023-24 school year. The Illinois Report Card describes a commendable school as a school that has no underperforming student groups, a graduation rate greater than 67%, and whose performance is not in the top 10% of schools statewide. The administrative team made a presentation to the school board about the 2024 school report card information and on the district improvement plan that will drive improvement efforts in the district through the remainder of this school year and next. Superintendent Tom Mulligan presented information on each summative designation score for each school building. The ultimate goal will be to receive an exemplary rating, which means we would be in the top 10% of all schools in the state, Mulligan said. He also then presented a summary of how the ratings were calculated and a comparison with the two previous years. Mulligan then presented a plan to work toward the exemplary rating as a district. The presentation was broken down by strategic goal. Mulligan shared the performance measures for each goal along with the performance targets for the 2024-2025 school year. He also highlighted strategies that will drive our improvements under each strategic goal. Assistant Principal Kyle Shea and Junior and Senior High School Principal Nick Lindsay highlighted information on college and career readiness, which is a huge part of improvement strategies for junior and high school. Elementary school principal Amber Behrens presented the state literacy plan and the work that the elementary school staff is doing to revise their literacy block base on the literacy plan and state standards. The board approved the district improvement plan as well as acceptable to the district and school report cards from the 2023-2024 school year. A detailed breakdown of the district's report cards can be found at www.illinoisreportcard.com. The proposed district improvement plan can be found at arcola.k-12illinois.us, Strategic Planning and School Improving. Moving on, the school authorized the school district to apply for the 2025 state maintenance grant for parking lot renovation, a $50,000 matching grant. The board is exploring several parking lot improvements for this summer, including the northeast parking area. The board has also discussed previously other potential areas of improvement at the school, but did not come to any decisions just yet. The board approved the tentative tax levy and set a truth and taxation hearing for 5:30 p.m. on December 11th at the school. The fiscal year 24 audit and annual financial report had no action taken on it due to the report not being completed. Other items the board acted on included approval of the annual AFS senior trip as well as FFA overnight trip to Bloomington. The board also approved the purchase and installation of new radios and supporting equipment from Bechtech for a total of $10,000. These new radios will be a significant improvement on what we currently have and will allow for several different channels to be used, Mulligan explained. It should enhance communication across the district and will be critical in any crisis situation. A 3-year agreement with Constellation Energy to provide electric service over the next 36 months was also approved by the board. Finally, the board accepted the resignation of junior high volleyball assistant coach Ariana Warren, as well as the employments of Kim Snyder as high school softball assistant, Makina Wagoner as high school basketball assistant cheerleading coach, Gracie Wagoner as junior high cheerleading coach, and Marissa Stacy as elementary special education teacher. An article, Villa Grove School Board District Receives Exemplary Status by Gabriella Agius. After receiving a targeted designation on the state report card in 2023, the Villa Grove Elementary School launched into action. This paid off with a jump to exemplary status, meaning the district is in the top 10% of the state. The elementary school was given a targeted designation due to subgroup performance. This subgroup represented students with IEP, Individualized Education Plan. The district got together with a team and action plan to improve this status. Action that helped to improve the students' performance was utilizing a human narrator instead of a computer-generated narrator when providing test accommodations. The special education faculty also changed curriculum to bolster student success. Although the elementary received an exemplary status, attendance is still an opportunity. Attendance as a whole has fallen significantly since post-COVID. In elementary, the attendance is parental responsibility. K-6 principal Bobby Beck hopes to encourage parents to bring their kids to school, as attendance is crucial to learning. The junior and high school both received commendable status. Junior high saw an improvement on status as they previously had a targeted distinction. All categories, ELA, math, science, saw an increase for the junior high. This increase occurred after faculty team ensured curriculum were in line with state standard, as well as other actions taken to improve the scorecard. Although the high school was not given a targeted status last year, faculty implemented a Focus on the Future plan to increase student engagement. This included a resiliency committee, clubs, and aligning the curriculum to standard. Overall, student engagement has increased with almost all students belonging to a club or sport. The new board revisited a previous discussion of bringing back junior high cheerleading. After further review, junior high school principal Sarah Jones noted the district was the only school in the area without a junior high cheer. However, the district is the only school with competitive junior high dance. A survey was sent out to junior high boys and girls to see if there was enough interest to bring back a cheer squad. Due to smaller incoming seventh grade, it seemed there wasn't enough student body and interest to support cheer. If cheer were to be added, it would create a further imbalance of boys and girls sports. Currently, there is more offering for girls sports than boys sports in the district. However, there has always been a discrepancy in boys and girls sports for the district. Board members argued that since cheer is non-competitive, it shouldn't interfere with the sports selections the district has to offer. The board decided to revisit this conversation surrounding junior high cheerleading in the spring. The board received the application of School Maintenance Program grant. This would match district contributions to be used for school maintenance and would go towards improvements of the first floor restrooms, as well as the hot water line that leads to the third floor boys' bathroom. For the superintendent's report, Dr. Carol Munson noted that the roof replacement would be approved for the energy grant the district will receive. However, this cannot be a standalone project and would likely be combined with new lighting for the gym. The board approved the final reading of Press Box Issue Number 116, which included new Title IX regulations. The board also approved the proposed property tax levy, but will be holding a truth in taxation hearing at the next meeting due to increases. The next meeting will be held at 6 p.m. on December 16th. The next article, Douglas County Catastrophe Plan to Protect Health and Property, available for public comment. The Douglas County All Hazards Mitigation Plan, outlining projects and activities to reduce damages caused by severe weather and other natural and man-made hazards, will be made available for public review and comment starting Thursday, November 21st. The Planning Committee will meet from 4 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 21st at the Douglas County Annex, 209 East Van Allen, Tuscola. Residents can come and review the plan at any time during the forum. Those unable to attend can still review the plan and provide comments without participating at the public forum. The plan, along with summary sheet and a comment survey, will be available for review at the Douglas County EMA office, 209 East Van Allen, Tuscola, and on the county website. The comment period will remain open through December 6th. Public comments received will be used to make any revisions needed before the plan is submitted to the Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The Douglas County Hazard Mitigation Planning Committee has been conducting meetings to open to the public since October 2023. The committee updated the plan with technical assistance from state and federal agencies, as well as a consultant specializing in emergency management planning. The municipalities of Arcola, Arthur, Atwood, Camargo, Garrett, Tuscola, and Villa Grove have participated in the planning process. Other participating jurisdictions include the Villa Grove Community, Unit School District Number 302, and Beaudry Township. This plan describes how the county and the participating jurisdictions have been impacted by severe weather and other hazards and identifies specific mitigation actions that can be taken to reduce damages to people and property before events occur, explained Douglas County Emergency Management Agency Director Channa Ray. In the final first page story, Tuscola Women's Club presents 6 homes for holiday tour. The Tuscola Women's Club hosts Homes for the Holidays, a tour of 6 local homes decorated for Christmas, 1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 8th. There will also be a Christmas tea at the Douglas County Ag Center, 900 South Washington Street, the corner of U.S. 36. Tickets may be purchased at Flessner's Candy Kitchen, Joe's Pizza, Shimmerin' Creek, and all Tuscola banks. Tickets can be purchased the day of the event at the Ag Center. For more information, call 217-246-2248. The first home on the list is the residence of Tom and Vicki Harris at 1136 North U.S. 36. We purchased this property on which the house is sitting in 1996. After purchasing the home for $1 in 1996, we moved it to its current location from 1 mile west of Galton. Luckily, our house survived with no structural damage after traveling over the Route 45 overpass. We moved into the house in April 1998, and for the past 26 years, this home has been a wonderful place for our family to gather and spend many holidays. Second is the home of Scott and Susan Branca at 1130 North U.S. 45. Our home was built in the early 1900s. In 2019, we gutted and rebuilt our home. Our residence has been the hangout for our children, grandchildren, and all of their friends throughout the years. We decorate a home as a winter wonderland and celebrate the birth of Jesus, not just at Christmas, but all the year long. We hope your visit to our home fills you with the presence of the Lord, along with peace and joy in your heart. Third is the home of Mary Beth and Dennis Opperman at 915 Lakeshore Drive. As you stroll through our home, you will see we love decorating for Christmas. We have amassed a large collection of Santas over our 46 years together. We hope you enjoy the display of these Santas throughout the house. As you visit our house, you will also see themed Christmas trees and seasonal quilted items. We feel very blessed to be able to share our home with you during this Christmas season. Fourth is the home of Pastor Allen and Carrie Harris. Take a glimpse in time from decor and home life starting in the mid-1800s. Moving forward, you'll see how the family prepared to have a meal at their table, prepared recipe in their kitchen in the 1940s, and finally found a place to relax at the end of a hard work day as the decades progress. The trees decorated from homemade ornaments at the turn of the century to the sparkles of the aluminum tree in the 1950s. Check out the guest room closet to host your things so the guests could rest from a long journey. Music to be played and sung around the piano. The anticipation grew to give thanks for the Christmas celebration because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't forget the photo op in the basement kids' living room, flashing with a little surprise for yourself to take home. Fifth is the home of Heidi Gaddy and Justin Ford at 1701 North Prairie Street. Originally built as a small farmhouse in 1964, our house has undergone multiple additions and renovations throughout its life. The most recent renovation in 2024 opened up the center of the home to the 4 large rooms you see now. We consider this area to be the heart of our home, welcoming family and friends. Christmas is one of our favorite times with family, and we hope you enjoy our eclectic decorations gathered from across the country during 21 years of military service. Returning to Tuscola, we are grateful to be back home and raise our family here. Sixth on the list is the home of Jared and Sharon Farlow. We were drawn to the tree-lined brick streets and the location of our home on North Main Street. We love being close to the park and on the parade routes. Our home was built around 1890. You will see the hardwood floors, pocket doors, and a large and comfortable living space. We love to decorate for various seasons, with Christmas being one of my favorites. Christmas trees, nativity scenes, and snowmen intermingled with lots of lights and accents. Come into our home where we make memories. We're looking forward to seeing you. We'll move now to the obituaries. Richard Dennis Denny Seaman, 72, of Champaign, passed away peacefully on November 11, 2024, with his wife and 3 daughters by his side. A devoted husband, father, grandfather, and friend, he lived a life defined by hard work, sacrifice, and deep commitment to those he loved. A celebration of life service will be held Saturday, November 30th, 10 a.m. at First Mennonite Church, 902 West Springfield Avenue, Urbana. At Denny's request, a meal and time of fellowship will follow the service at a local establishment to be announced during the service. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts will be made to the First Mennonite Church. Patricia Pat Fortney, 95 of Arcola, died at 12:53 p.m. Sunday, November 17th at Brookstone Estates in Tuscola. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 20th at Schrader Funeral Home, 204 North Locust Street, Arcola, with a funeral service at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 21st at the Arcola Presbyterian Church with Pastor Paula Carmichael officiating. Private interment service will follow at the Arcola Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to the Arcola Presbyterian Church. Online condolences to the family will be shared at the Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home. Jerry Parto, 78 of Springfield, passed away peacefully on Wednesday, November 13th, 2024 in Springfield. Memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. on Thursday, November 21st at the Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street, Arcola. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service from 12 noon to 1 p.m. at the funeral home. Carlos Lopez, 60 of Arcola, passed away peacefully at home after a courageous battle with cancer on November 16, 2024, surrounded by his loving family. A celebration of Carlos's life will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday, November 22nd at the Arcola Community Center, 107 West Main Street, Arcola. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Frank Swaim, 90 of Toledo, Iowa, formerly of Bement, passed away at 9:10 a.m. on Sunday, November 17, 2024 at Berkwood Village of Toledo, Iowa. Funeral services will be at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 23rd at the Heinz Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 348 North Pyatt Street, Bement. The Reverend Steve Ingram will officiate. Visitation will be held from 12:30 p.m. until time of the services on Saturday at the funeral home. Marlene Bessie Corley, 91, of Camargo, passed away on Saturday morning, November 16, 2024, at her residence surrounded by her loving family. Private family service will be held at a later date. Burial will be in the Oblong Cemetery. Llewellyn M. Cochran, 78, of Arthur, formerly of Lovington, passed away at 10:38 a.m. on Thursday, November 14, 2024, at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. A celebration of Llewellyn's life will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, November 23rd, at the Lovington American Legion Post 429, located south of Lovington at the corner of Legion Road and Illinois 32. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Jake L. Stigl, 85, of Tuscola, passed away at 10:45 a.m. Sunday, November 10th, 2024, at his home. Celebration of life services will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, November 24th at the Tuscola United Methodist Church, 901 North Prairie Street, Tuscola, with Pastor Bennett Woods officiating. Burial will follow in the Cartwright Cemetery, rural Tuscola. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Vi Jansen, age 82, passed away on October 31st, 2024. She was born on April 13, 1942, at Arthur to Albert S. Kaufman and Amanda Yoder Kaufman. A memorial service will be held at the First Church of God, Elkhart, Kansas, on Saturday, December 14th at 10:30 a.m. Memorial contributions may be given to the Bibles for the World, care of the Garland Funeral Home. Philip Dale Parrish, 63, of Sullivan, passed away at 9 p.m. Saturday, November 16th at his home with his loved ones by his side. Visitation will be held from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Saturday, November 30th at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Lovington. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 30th at the funeral home in Lovington. Burial will be at a later date in Keller Cemetery, Lovington. Memorials were made to the Shriners Hospital for Children. Terry J. Albin, 68, passed away peacefully on Sunday, November 10th, 2024 at Evergreen Place Assisted Living in Champaign. A funeral service was held Thursday, November 14th at the Joins Funeral Home in Villa Grove with Pastor John Callahan officiating. Burial was at the Hugo Cemetery. Visitation was held prior to the funeral service at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made to the Harvest Church or Transitions Hospice. George L. Dukeman, age 87, of Arthur, passed away on Saturday morning, November 16, 2024, at Eberhard Village in Arthur. Graveside services were held Tuesday, November 19th at the Zion Cemetery in rural Arthur. No visitation was held. Online condolences may be made via the Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home. Another article, DARSAR announced Good Citizen Awards. The Stephen A. Douglas Chapter's Daughters of the American Revolution announced this year's selection of good citizens. Each year since 1937, the Stephen A. Douglas Chapter, DAR, has recognized the outstanding high school senior of each of our county schools who most closely represents the qualities of dependability, service, leadership, and patriotism. The DAR Good Citizen Program reflects two of the missions of the National Society, which are education and patriotism. Selected for the DAR Good Citizen Award are Braden Phillips from Arcola, Elena Plank from Arthur Levington, Atwood Hammond, Lilia Richardson from Shiloh, Allison Petrie from Tuscola, and Jobella Crafton from Villa Grove. The Piankashaw Chapter of the Sons of the American Revolution recognizes the SAR Good Citizen Award. Selected this year are Amber Gingrich from Arcola, Sarah Hirschberger from Arthur Levington, Atwood Hammond, Charles North from Shiloh, David Hornaday from Tuscola, and Cooper Clark from Villa Grove. The DAR SAR Good Citizens Families and Friends will be honored February 8, 2025 at a luncheon at the Camargo Methodist Church. It's an article, Poisoning Our Water, Senator Rose, Pritzker Clash Over Sequestration Ban by Ben Crane. Before the statewide carbon sequestration had passed, State Senator Chapin Rose was against the idea due to the lack of protection of the Mahomet Aquifer. In the months since the bill was passed, more concerns were raised after a carbon leak at Archer Daniels Midland. Rose's response, work across the aisle with downstate Democrats to ensure the safety of the aquifer. Senate Bill 3968 was his solution, with Rose and Democratic Senator Paul Faraci sponsoring bills that would ban sequestration underneath the aquifer. Rose has since signed onto Faraci's bill. However, in a closed committee session, the bill was tabled for further investigation into the danger of injecting carbon. I was at the Illinois game this weekend, and I had someone come up to me and say, it's almost like we're expendable, Rose said. The idea for the issue for Rose is so important that he is willing to swallow his pride. I don't care who gets credit for the ban under the aquifer. I just want to protect my constituents, he said. Rose criticized Governor J.B. Pritzker's carbon sequestration plan, warning that it poses a grave threat to the Mahomet Aquifer, a critical water source for downstate Illinois. Governor Pritzker still says, well, on one hand, he says the ADM is a problem. He'll also say we don't need to worry about this because there's federal rules in place. We'll take care of it if anything happens. It's too late, the legislator said. Rose accused Pritzker of making deals with big business, big industry, big labor behind closed doors, and only revealing the details after the Memorial Day weekend, calling the governor a petty tyrant. I really don't care to listen to the ramblings of a petty tyrant who tells me, don't worry about it, the EPA will take care of it. It's simply too late at that point. Rose expressed skepticism about the reliability of carbon sequestration technology, drawing parallels to the Jurassic Park principle of Murphy's Law. Eventually, the pipeline is going to fail, right? At some point. I would never have guessed that the ADM pipeline would have failed in less than 10 years, but you know, it's concrete, stuff like that, right? I'm looking at my driveway right now. I've got lots of concrete cracks. It's Murphy's Law, the legislator added. Murphy's Law states, what can go wrong will go wrong. Despite the challenges, the legislator remains determined to fight the plan, vowing to make a coalition of lawmakers and community members to oppose the use of the Mahomet Aquifer for a carbon sequestration pipeline. I know where I'm going next. Now I've got the Champaign-Urbana Democrats. We're going up to the Bloomington. We're going to Decatur, Springfield, right? We're going to keep building on this coalition. Rose criticized the progressive leftist Democrats who voted on the carbon sequestration bill, saying, you see the sort of horror on their faces, right? Because on one hand, they want to solve greenhouse emissions. On the other hand, they don't want to. You know, they're personally against the idea of some poisoning, but contributing to the poisoning of somebody else's water, right? They have blood on their hands at that point, right? The battle over statewide carbon sequestration plan promises to be a contentious one, with the lawmakers and community members alike fighting to protect the vital water resources that sustain downstate Illinois. In the end, it's noting worth fighting is never easy. I'm confident. I'm like a bulldog. I don't go away. I know where I'm going next. We have time for some briefs. Thanksgiving Mass. All Douglas County Catholic churches will offer Thanksgiving Day Mass at 40 Martyrs Catholic Church, Tuscola, on Thursday, November 28th at 9 a.m. Eucharistic adoration will be held 1 hour prior to Mass. Community Thanksgiving Services. The Arthur Ministerial Association is inviting everyone to a community Thanksgiving service hosted by the Cowboy Church at Penn Station on Saturday, November 24th at 10 a.m. Please come early. Prior to the service, refreshments will be available at 9:30 a.m. and praise music held by the Cowboy Church Praise Band starts at 9:40. And that is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.